The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive mime.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Good evening and welcome to 2RRR 88.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 242. On tonight's show, copyright follow-up, Millions of Peaches, Calling Nosferatu, Bye Bye Rummy, and the Democrats Hit Home. All that, and the nipple clamps of doom. A Walk in the Black Forest, polishing the proverbial dome.
You're not a follower, you're not a leader.
You're given a pattern, and you follow the pattern.
Yeah,
that's following.
Sometimes the patterns
are good. I create my own patterns.
Sometimes
this pattern was sitting there. That's my pattern. You're following someone else's pattern.
Let me get it straight. Your pattern is
just
sits there. That's a pattern?
You are the lemmings, and I am the cliff.
Are you the lemmy?
No, I'm the cliff.
Because he's saying in Motorhead.
Are you saying that your pattern is nothing? You have no pattern.
Have you ever noticed that cliffs have never jumped off lemmings? No, lemmings jump off cliffs.
Cliff Burton?
What?
He's dead.
Thank you. That was,
That just backs up our argument, you dick.
It backs up my argument.
No, it doesn't. It means that you need patterns.
Have you ever heard of Peter's logic? That's Peter's logic.
Did you know that in chaos there are patterns? You see, there is in fact no chaos as such.
That was, funnily enough, talking about
I
why...
It. I thought it was deep.
I like
why
that. Peter wouldn't, because he's not a follower.
YMCA by Nancy Vandal.
Probably has his... Oh, Nancy Vandal.
Of the Buster Move 1996 compilation, as Pete drags into his record collection, because all of it is in box.
Can I just say that Abe and I danced along to that, and we did the whole YMCA symbol thing, and Pete just sat there.
Yep. Yes, I did.
Just sat there. Like a...
lame-assed, half-witted bastard.
That's exactly right.
Thank you.
But you see, he didn't need to do the actions.
Why? Because he's already at the...
Well, you see, the thing is, he's already at the YMCA. We're still trying to get into the YMCA.
Oh, we are.
He's already made it up. We're stuffed.
Pete's already in the Young Man's Christians Association.
Pete is the Young Man's Christian Association.
No, I'm just in Young Christians.
Young man.
Thank you. Any in particular
that's
that
really
I know?
Funny.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. I try. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, and you're listening to
2RRR 88.5
FM. God, these microphones are amazing.
Are they?
I'm going to talk up here for a while, I reckon. It's around about 22 minutes to the hour of 10 o'clock.
You'll break it if you stay up there.
Yeah, I know. When I'm hanging upside down from the air vent. Ooh, boy, monkey time. It's around 22 minutes the hour of 11 o'clock here on 2RRR 88.5 FM. This is part of the jaunt Collective.
We are...
Tick that box.
We are part of the Joint Collective. That's very true.
Because while I was sitting out there, I did actually hear a Joint Collective advertisement. And we're included in the new Joint Collective advertisement. Thank you very much.
Are we really?
To our fellow joint leaders.
Huh. Oh, come on.
They're leaders. They are leaders.
I thought we were to be... I mean, if we... Wouldn't it be true that if we're actually included, mm-hmm. then we're either followers,
mm-hmm.
or we're part of somebody else, but we want to be out there, don't we? We want to be unique and individual. So the fact that we're actually part of the collective promo is offensive.
No.
Maybe we should pull out of the Joint Collective.
We're first in the promo.
How can we be first? It starts with W.
No. Tuesday nights.
Do you count the A?
I do.
Is it more Tuesday. Like walk in the black, comma, A?
I don't know.
Forest A.
But the more important thing, A, is to make sure that we keep talking so that Pete can't get a word in.
All right.
Now, last week.
How are the bingos?
We talked.
They're good.
Last week we talked about copyright and the...
The
reason we're first is because it's Tuesday evening. It goes first. We're the first program in the Joint Collective, Tuesday evening from 10:30.
If you start on a Monday.
Well, that's true, if you start on a Monday. And the person who just rung, can you ring again? Because we just missed the call. But there's no joint programming on Monday. We are the first in the joint collective on a Tuesday.
I wouldn't join any collective that would accept us as in the collective.
Yeah, fair enough. I would do that all myself. That's very good. Now, can we talk about something? Now Abe's actually out of the room. We can actually talk about copyright.
Yeah, exactly.
Last week we talked about the changes to the Copyright Amendment Act 2006, which went through completely unamended through the lower house.
Did a really fantastic whole bunch of stupid gits.
Through the lower house. But now it has gone to a parliamentary committee for extensive debate in the upper house.
The less dumb people.
They were allowed, for a very big bill, I believe it's something like 288 pages, and probably the most sweeping changes to the Copyright Amendment, to Copyright Act since it first came in place. I was actually probably thinking more since St. Peter was hung. That's about
30, 40
years later.
I was thinking when George Bush got in.
Yeah, fair enough. So the biggest changes since then, they were given... How much time do you think they were given?
Richard, to read it?
To read it, to review it, to come up with changes and to make it better.
Oh, you wouldn't need any more than a few minutes, would you? Well, I mean, there's probably got a lot of other things to deal
with. So they've been generous then. They gave them a day.
They gave them a day?
A whole day.
Wow, a whole day.
Isn't that great?
Well, that's awesome. Wow. They probably put lots of amendments through and really polished it off. That's really good. Well, I'm really happy about that.
Just to give you a comparison point of the idea of the level of depth, the lower house inquiry into community broadcasting, the very fine institution that we have in broadcasting has been scheduled to run for 9 months.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worth about $3.5 million of government investment. Mm. The Copyright Act could have a multi-billion dollar effect on our economy. One day.
They should cancel the study into community broadcasting because they'll save 9 months and they'll save $3.5 million. And they could just give the $3.5 million to people like Microsoft.
Mm, Sony.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. I was going to say them as well. Yeah, just give it to them.
I think so.
And let them divvy it up. Give it to
Give it to them in caviar. Let them just, they could eat caviar.
They could lap it.
They could lap it. Even better, hire someone to lap it for them and then let it drop from their virginal mouths into the executives' mouths.
What have you been eating?
Just cashew nuts. It says cashew nuts. It says methamphetamine cashew nuts.
Mm.
They're nice. I hear they're good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, Abe, I told you not to give him nuts.
No, well, I thought you meant mine, so I gave him someone else's.
Got anything to add?
We just got a call
from
DJ Grizzly. And DJ Grizzly was informing us that the reason why a walk in the Black Forest is first...
Because we're tossers.
No, it's because we are the first part of the Jaunt Collective in the week.
Nice.
The week starts off. The Jaunt Collective week starts off.
Now, why didn't you think of
that? Forest.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
And
I don't know why Abe didn't hear it either.
I don't know.
It's just amazing. Technology is beautiful. Because I was just explaining it to the listeners.
See, were you?
Sorry.
Oh, you're giving me gag away now.
I was doing administrative duties.
You don't need to give away a gag to Abe.
I'm whispering so that Abe doesn't hear me. I'm
turning off my mic.
Do you hear that? It's my whisper. Abe doesn't actually hear me.
No one can hear me.
All right. Back to copyright. Back to copyright, people. Back to sound.
So does that mean we're now officially part of the Joint Collective?
Yeah, well, because I said it. Is that what makes us official?
Exactly. Is that what makes
it? Yeah. I didn't realize I had that power.
I want to hear the promo.
We are all a bunch of tossers. Does that mean we're officially all now a bunch of tossers?
effectively.
Excellent.
Tick that box too.
That's a great power.
The copyright. So it took them a day. To read through 280 pages of
legislation,
quite verbose, sort of, and technical. Yeah. I would imagine. Jargon.
Indeed.
And now, then just passed it through. It wasn't unanimous.
It wasn't unanimous. It was a minority report presented by the Labor Party members on the Senate committee, and including the Democrats, Andrew Bartlett, who's also on the was on the committee. But interestingly, they made a sum total of 16 changes. That's it. 16 changes.
Yeah, right.
Most of those were around the concept of fair usage, that you are allowed to, in fact, keep a copy of a song that you take off your own CD, for example,
all right,
on your computer, and burn it to your proprietary software-enabled MP3 device.
Yep.
But the big issues which they didn't address, and I'm not sure what sort of issues you've got, it may well be the same article, actually.
It may well be. It probably is, actually.
Is it headed, "Soon Recordings Will Be a Crime"?
There we go.
Excellent. So we're both on the same article. Ah, dear, research.
We do our research, don't we, Pete?
Yeah, both at the City
Hall. Abe hasn't got a copy.
Actually, I do have a spare copy outside if you'd like a copy, Abe. He's just ignoring us. Isn't that beautiful?
He's doing tech stuff.
Is he doing tech stuff?
So come on, move on.
All right. So
tell us about this article. What's it called again?
It's called "Soon Recordings Will Be a Crime." It's actually in the Morning Herald this morning. What it basically points out is that a few people have gone through the act who actually know what the hell they're talking about.
Yep.
One of those is the Internet Industry of Australia, or Internet Association of Australia. Looking, and their spokesperson, Peter Caronius. I don't know if that... did you ever read Jim Caronius's maths books?
Can't say I did. Should I have?
No, yeah, I did, yeah.
You used Jim Caronius's maths books?
Who's Jim Caronius?
It's probably more to do with the way you phrased it.
What?
Did you read Jim Caronius's maths books?
Were you directed?
Yes, it was. I was quite disappointed by the ending, actually. Chapter 5 was a bit... You know, I don't know why they killed off the heroine.
So I leave it alone.
Was time high school. That's why.
Yeah, fair enough.
Certainly got me through the book.
Their biggest worry, Peter Cronus from the Internet Association of Australia has pointed out some of their biggest worries, which of course these things are actually illegal as we stand now. These aren't effectively changes, but the new act does associate criminal charges with it. So it's things that if you record, the article talks primarily about recording you too. If you had recorded you too on your phone, and then posted up a little grab of you dancing around at U2.
You'll have your nuts chopped off.
You'll have your nuts chopped off by Philip Ruddock personally.
Now, the interesting thing is, I think Bono would also come down pretty hard on that. But if you donated the clip to Africa...
Or your nuts.
...in the name of the Catholic Church, then you'd be right.
Or the name of the Pope.
That's an awesome idea.
Yes.
Other things that may well be considered to be criminal offences, as pointed out by the Internet Association of Australia, is if you actually film yourself singing Happy Birthday in a restaurant and posting it to YouTube, because Happy Birthday remains a copyrighted work now until 2030. Because that was one of those very odd things that when America extended their copyright at 75 years.
I'd just like to know, does that mean that Marilyn Monroe is in fact in breach of copyright, and her estate is in fact owing the owners of the copyright of Happy Birthday as a fairly large amount of money?
She paid the royalty.
She may well pay the royalty in those days, Yeah, that's exactly right.
But possibly.
Now, as we said, some of the other interesting things that we've always thought were dodgy things like being...
Happy Birthday would be covered by our... Wouldn't it?
Currently would be covered by ours, but see, this is where it gets a bit weird, and this is why there's...
So if we were to sing it now and put it on the internet, you'd have to probably edit me out if I was to say, just for example, Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if I was to go, Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Happy Birthday, dear Peter.
Yep.
Happy birthday to you, for example.
I would probably...
If I was just speaking the words like that. Would you have to edit that out when we put this on?
I may have to edit that out.
I think it has to do with the tune as well. If it doesn't include the tune...
What if I was to go, "Happy birthday to you"?
Okay, we'll probably have to edit that out.
"Happy birthday to you."
So over this bit...
"Happy birthday, dear Peter."
I would be inserting...
"Happy birthday to you."
Some copyright-free music to replace what you just did. And that copyright-free music was produced and made by DJ Copyright Free.
Fantastic.
Yes. And I hope you enjoyed that little bit of copyright-free music that I placed over the copyright infringement.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is whoever's listening on the internet now will have no idea what we're talking about.
No.
Well, they'll have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's true.
Because this line will be completely out of context.
That is also true.
It is so true.
Interestingly enough, though, for the internet listener, you in fact would have stuck to the no singing for Richard thing that was put up.
Interestingly, I just received a text on the special Woolbrough SMS line.
It's in fact called the Woolbrough Red Phone.
That said, stop singing, stop Richard singing.
Oh, Matt, bite me.
Signed by DJ Matt Curley of...
DJ Grizzly.
DJ Grizzly. Is that this aforementioned DJ
that
Grizzly?
That is DJ Grizzly.
I thought it was just on the internet and you were going to edit that out.
I'm
not allowed to do it on air now?
Nah.
God, the airways are free, aren't they? I was told that in the training course 27 years ago.
Obviously, as I mentioned before, the Senate committee had a one-day hearing last Tuesday and was given less than a week to complete his report, and Andrew Bartlett from the Democrats has said that this is just basically ridiculously
stupid. Has he had his car over yet or what?
Matt Curley, I'm not sure.
Andrew Bartlett did that.
So, interestingly, there are going to be 16 changes. The 16 changes, as we talked about last week, talked about sticking on, staying on message.
It wouldn't be so bad if the first change was to remove the first 279 pages.
I agree.
That's brilliant. Maybe that could be an amendment. Subsection 4.
Copyright Amendment Act. We just amend the whole entire Copyright Amendment Act.
So the amendment is the aforementioned act is no longer law. Let's pass it and then pass an amendment.
I agree. Let's go with that. Now, what's really frightening about this is, once again, we go to the idea of staying on message and basically picking the lowest common stupid denominator that your average dumb, stupid fuck in this country actually believes.
One.
Indeed, one. So what do they pump out?
Note.
They're going to pump out the message that, guess what? You can take the Sunday home movie off the television and no one's going to arrest you. No one's been arrested, ever.
Mm.
You can tape some stuff onto your iPod and not get arrested. Isn't that great, Richard?
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Oh, how great
is that? Oh, man, I feel so safe now.
But you sing Happy Birthday at a restaurant, you're going to be thrown in jail and meet a very large black man called Bubba.
You know, I actually found something out interesting the other day.
Actually.
Yeah. In the recent Copyright Act, if you go on a bus and pay for a ticket, you can actually go from one destination to the other.
Mm.
And that's it, you're allowed to.
Amazing.
I also hear that if you pick up the telephone and dial a number and you paid your bill, you're able to speak to other people. See, this is the kind of thing we need in the
act. This is the sort of behaviours that we as a country should be respecting.
Is that racist?
What?
A black man called Bubba.
No, I know him. His name's Bubba Jones. You've never met him?
I don't know. For some reason, you know, it's like, you'll be introduced to a big black man. What if it was a white man?
His name's not... But the white man in the same cell isn't named...
A big white man named...
His name is Douglas.
Douglas.
He's in the cell too.
Isn't that racist then? Bubba?
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Is that ethnic? Ethnicity?
It's a nickname. His real name is...
Simon?
Yes. You know him too.
I do. He's a big black man.
He is a very big black man.
Don't worry about you too.
I'm going to leave this right here.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, so basically, ladies and gentlemen, your opportunity to consult and consult your elected representatives on probably the most sweeping changes to copyright this country will ever see.
See, that's the problem with the sedition laws.
What?
I can't sit here and say, go bomb your local senator.
No, you can't, because that would be in breach of the sedition laws.
That would be in breach of the sedition laws.
What you can say, though...
It would have always been in breach of the broadcast service.
What if I was to record somebody else saying it and broadcast it?
No, because you broadcast it.
Is that broken copyright?
You'd be breaking it. No. Now you wouldn't be breaking copyright. That'd be okay, because you're allowed to do that now.
That's true.
That's all good. But you...
I could record someone saying it, and then take it home and listen to it in my privacy
on
my
your
own
iPod.
Home.
Or on your iPod.
There we go. I could loop it on while I'm going to sleep at night.
Exactly.
You could put it on your iPod but never listen to
it. Bomb your senator. Bomb your senator. Is that way?
No. Exactly. It works pretty well. Your opportunity to consult on this has now disappeared, but it'd be
prepared. No, you can still consult on it.
You just can't consult successfully.
No, you can consult consensually.
Yeah.
You just can't make any fucking changes.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the whole point of consultation.
We're not consulting with you.
That's true.
We're very consultative.
I have to say, this is a consultative process.
It is.
It's a very consultative process. We've always said that at Woolworth.
I think we're in an embryonic stage.
Yep.
The whole process at the moment is in its infancy.
Yep.
It's beginning. Eventually, I think something will sprout forth.
Yep.
But not before we're screwed over utterly.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think there should be more consulting.
Your opportunity to consult with your Member of Parliament has now passed. We can consult with each other.
I could probably consult with him.
He's just not going to listen to you.
He told me off.
Yeah, fair enough.
Consult with him.
Well, I reckon the local around us would probably not... would be okay. Wouldn't be a problem.
Sweet.
he's a bit of a member of the left.
So what if you, what if you,
the left what?
What if you got your phone testicle? And you recorded him consulting?
then
it's a breach of copyright.
Yeah,
and you'd have to consult.
So there was a line there, and it involved history and a whole lot of stuff, which I wasn't even going to go near because basically I'd be dead. Interestingly, though, as I said, your opportunity to consult with your local member has disappeared. But just be prepared, as of the 1st of January, I believe, is the implementation date for, as I said, the single most sweeping changes to copyright in this country has ever seen. 1st of January. I'm booking my ticket out of the country.
Isn't it? It's like the DMCA came in then. Well, the trade agreement, yeah.
Because they're hoping to get it through Parliament, through the
White House. Hey, that's the first day of the year as well. It's all happening.
Wow, isn't that a coincidence?
It's amazing.
That's coinkydink. Yeah.
It's a coinkydink.
It's a total coinkydink. So there we go. That was
so they're pushing it through on the very day that everyone's just smashed off their nuts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait a minute.
They'll never notice.
Parliament doesn't sit on the 1st of January.
No, but the act becomes law. They're going to get through in the next sitting of Parliament, which I think starts Monday.
Once they're through with their consulting.
Once they're through with that.
If we can turn back time, if we can find a way. I believe we can stop this act.
I believe we can too. But unfortunately, the TARDIS is broken.
Can we force a general election within the next month?
Brandon Braga is not writing science fiction
anymore.
Isn't
the federal election next year?
Pardon?
Isn't the federal election
next year? It'll be sometime late next year, yeah. Awesome. Sorry, Brandon Q. Braga. Late next year.
Good.
Anyway, that's just an update of what we were talking about last week. And just keep it. It's surprisingly that some of your Australian media is actually starting to keep up with this, but not a lot, to be fair. That was it. I went searching today for more than that, and that's all I could find.
Wow.
Apart from just something that came out of actually... I'll just briefly grab out my copy of MX out of my bag, that fine bastion.
I don't believe you actually accept that thing.
I do. Well, because I... Do you know when I accept it? On Tuesdays. That would be the day I accept it. Because it's always interesting to find stuff for this show.
All right.
It's interesting to see that MXPX have moved out of music and gone into journalism.
It is. There's a bit in here about there, and this is what I'm talking about staying to the message.
That's
and picking the lowest common denominator for your average stupid idiot. The federal government will change the language of the Copyright Amendment Act to ensure iTunes users cannot be prosecuted for transferring music to iPods.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who's backing that.
A spokesman for Attorney General Philip Ruddock said the government would consider 16 recommendations to the Senate committee. It would prevent users from keeping two or more copies of a piece of music. Only a temporary copy is necessary as part of the technical process of making the main copy. The group that did most of the changes to the fair usage was, funnily enough, Apple. We're able to get some lobbying through. So your normal average Australian citizen, no fucking hope. Your major American corporation, walk right in, sit right down. Add, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right,
God, I'm going to be editing a lot of songs out of these.
Wow. It's going to be awesome.
Welcome to Walking Back Forest. Copyright violations on the run.
By the John Collective.
By the
John
Collective. Oh, in the Black Forest.
Mr. President, thank you for your kind words and the wholly unexpected opportunity you provided me to serve in the Department of Defense again. These past years, 6 years, it's been quite a time. It recalls to mind the statement by Winston Churchill, something to the effect that I have benefited greatly from criticism, and at no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
If they did not have these weapons of mass destruction, though, why then did they pose an immediate threat to us?
You and a few other critics are the only people I've heard use the phrase immediate threat. I didn't. The president didn't.
Some have argued that the nuclear threat from Iraq is not imminent, that Saddam is at least 5 to 7 years away from having nuclear weapons. I would not be so certain.
Close
to imminent.
I've tried to be precise and I've tried to be accurate.
Terrorist state poses a greater or more immediate threat to the security of our people and the stability of the world than the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
The great respect that I have for your leadership, Mr. President, in this little understood, unfamiliar war, the first war of the 21st century.
I'm Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency. Atlanta, September 27, 2002, Donald Rumsfeld said, and I quote, "There is bulletproof evidence
of links between Al-Qaeda and the government of President Saddam Hussein. Was that a lie, Mr. Rumsfeld, or was that manufactured somewhere else? Because all of my CIA colleagues disputed that, and so did the 9/11 Commission.
It is not well known. It was not well understood. It is complex for people to comprehend. And I know with certainty that over time, the contributions you've made will be recorded by history.
It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and we were just...
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there. Those are your words. Was that a lie, or were you misled?
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
Zarqawi, he was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
He was also in Baghdad.
Yeah, when he needed to go to the hospital. Come on, these people aren't idiots. They know the story.
I must say that it's been the highest honor of my life to serve with the talented men and women of the Department of Defense. The amazing men and women, young men and women in uniform. Their patriotism, their professionalism, their dedication is truly an inspiration. They have my respect. They will remain in my prayers always.
Triple R, 88.5 FM. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, bringing you another episode of A Walk in the Black Forest. Hi, Richard.
That's great. That's good,
isn't it good? I know, yeah, I'm professional.
Part of the Junt Collective.
Yes, part of the Junt Collective.
We should call it that.
The Junt Collective.
Yeah, it's much better.
That's Junt. Awesome.
I mean, what the fuck does Jaunt mean anyway?
Well, who knows? Wait a minute, I've got to write that down.
No worries. This is A Walk in the Black Forest, part of the Junt Collective.
We have online a Liberal Party spokesman on, or spokesperson on climate change, John Howard. Mr. Howard, welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest.
Well, thanks to me for being here.
Now, John Howard, that's a rather unfortunate name for a Liberal Party spokesman.
Oh, not at all, Abe. To be in the Liberal Party, you really do need a good, strong name. Robert Gordon Menzies, John Winston Howard, Ernst Stavro Blofeld. But for me, the biggest problem was actually my real name. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, also known as Lenin. I mean, try putting that on your tuck shop bag. No room for the ham and cheese sandwich and a custard tart. I've got the tart.
The other John Howe, the Prime Minister, one seems to have become a fairly recent convert to the concept of climate change.
I'm sorry, Abe and Richard. That's a myth being spread by the Labor Party. John Howard has been a climate change champion since 1924. In fact, he was even known at Canterbury Boys High School as Johnny Farty Greenhouse Gas Pants.
But when the Al Gore film was released, wasn't John Howard, the bald one with the bushy eyebrows, quoted as saying that he would take advice from a fictional film?
Yes, but that was before Tony Abbott explained it to him in easy-to-understand terms.
What terms are those?
When Jesus comes down to save the heroes, i.e. the Christian politicians, during the rapture, he needs water to walk on, but solid ground to do all that loaves and fishes tricks, as well as the condemning of the rest of the population to eternal hellfire. Besides, I mean, Jesus has really white skin, and if it's too hot, he'll burn, especially in sandals. It's just not a good look for Jesus.
So what is the strategy underpinning the government's climate change policy? Where are they coming from?
Well, the Al Gore film, An Inconvenient Truth, does lay it all out. So you get these gremlins. They're dirty little creatures, and if you keep them away from water, they're all good. But if you feed them after midnight, the mogwais turn into these horrible things.
Wait, hold on a second. That's the plot to Gremlins 2. Granted, the far superior sequel to Gremlins.
Damn, that was the second film W showed us. Yeah, that was in between that and Connie Does Dallas. But So in order, the real strategy behind the current Liberal Party policy is that firstly, we need to get the legs from under No Ticker Kim. Big tick. Get great front pages in what I would refer to as our friends' newspapers. Big tick there. We're really working on the next thing, equating Kyoto with September 11 and weapons of mass destruction. Tick. And, of course, we need to paint our glorious leader as a climate warrior. We're still working on that one.
Climate warrior. Does the other John Howard, Deputy Sheriff of the Free World, have a message for the Australian people on climate change?
We can't cut and run. We have to stay the course. But we need a new approach, a new voice. And Robert Gates is that voice. And until we bring democracy to the people of Iraq...
I'm sorry, Mr. Howard. What does Iraq have to do with climate change?
Oh, sorry, that was the wrong facts from Washington. Sorry, that's for tomorrow's speech for John Laws. Kim Beazley, he's fat.
John Howard, it's been a pleasure.
No, my pleasure to be pleasuring you. I think Borat told me that one this afternoon. He told me it's an ancient Kazakh farewell. Although it does sound suspiciously like what the bishop once said to me. Just add the phrase Jesus before and my son afterwards.
That was a John Howard, spokesperson for the Liberal Party on climate change, on a walk in the Black Forest.
Part of the Joint Collective.
That was Matthew Sweet off his, well, basically only good album with...
Yeah, look, maybe we need to consult.
You reckon there's better ones?
No.
Off his, well, in Abe's and my opinion...
I'd argue that there's none.
None? That was
I challenge any man, any free man, to find one that's good.
Okay, cool. We'll be with you in a second.
Can I just say one thing? He's married to Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, they just did an album last year, actually, of 60s.
From the Bangles.
They did an album last year of 1960s tunes.
They did.
Is that a good thing?
And they were also part of the Mint Tea.
I was just going to say that.
Mint Tea, the band that did all the backing songs for the Austin Powers films.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's a claim of fame, isn't it?
Yeah, they did.
That's an awesome claim of fame.
What's the one at the end of the... it's BBC BBC Heaven. You know the song at the end of the first Austin Powers film.
No.
Sorry, imagine walking into a party and then, hey, I'm you know
Matthew Sweet.
I'm Matthew Sweet, and you'll go, who?
Yep.
I did all the I did the music for the
Austin Powers film.
For the Austin Powers film.
That's not a bad thing to
And they'll go, was Mike Myers funny? That's about it.
Yeah.
Or was the guy who played Dr. Evil funnier?
Yes, he's hilarious.
Yes. You guys have seen it?
You don't see it.
I can't believe you've seen that shit.
I've seen all of them multiple times.
Why? They're,
because, okay.
I've seen them once.
They're funny. They're funny, number one. Funny. Number two, they're actually they're funnier if you're a Bond fan, because there's some very clever pastiches of Bond buried in there.
Got him. Pastiche. Sorry, I just wanted to bring attention to the word.
Thank you.
Pastiches.
Mm. Pastiche, part of the John Collective.
Exactly. So, apart from
those things... changed it, Pete. What are you at?
What? Yeah, what are we
We're
now?
We're no longer part of the John Collective.
What are we?
Part of the Junt Collective.
That's right.
We've decided that we no longer want to be followers. We're, in fact, leaders. We're starting our own collective, the Junt Collective.
You're with me, brothers.
In fact, we're leading the change to actually change the name of the collective for everyone in the collective to
the Junt Collective.
To Junt.
Nice.
Yep. Mm. Is that okay?
I wonder if DJ...
Of course, once we've changed the name, of course... we'll have to change the name to something else,
you know,
because then everybody else would be part of the Junt Collective.
You know, if we change it back, then technically what we're doing is we're retrofitting. We are bringing retro something.
Well, to follow the next word, if it was not the Junt Collective, we could actually be the Jant Collective.
Oh, that they're Dutch.
Because if you're dropping the A to become Junt, you could then drop the U to become Jant.
You know, I prefer Junt. Let's stick with Junt, shall we?
I think Junt.
Or Jort. You could drop the N and just be the Shorts Collective.
Yeah, look, anyway, as I was saying before, let's
just because you weren't here, you don't have to try your own word in here because you didn't contribute.
How about dropping the T?
Just because we didn't consult with you.
Look, honestly, if you wanted to go a little bit silly, let's drop the J and become the Aunt Collective.
That's even better. I like that.
Yeah, you don't want my next suggestion. Move on.
I don't even go there. Now, during the week, Wednesday...
And remember, Pastiche.
Last Wednesday, democracy was restored.
That's so my line.
Pastiche?
No. And remember.
Oh.
Last Wednesday, democracy in some way, shape, or form. Oh, there we go. It's DJ Grizzly.
My God!
Writing in on the special Walk in the Black Forest.
How on earth are we meant to run a show when you're fondling all your believers?
You can read it. I don't want to read it.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm not even going to answer it.
I don't believe you wasted a whole SMS to tell us what we were going to say but couldn't say.
Because he can, because there's no censorship or sedition laws on SMS.
Actually, technically,
now, if you could
there is.
Bring your car around the back and leave it there, that would be awesome.
Excellent.
There actually is.
Is there?
Yes.
What?
Because the government can actually access your mobile SMS. Phone records as in any kind of law court case they can bring forth. So if you're on trial for sedition and they can actually get your mobile phone messages and say they're seditious, then they are actually part of the court case.
Wow.
There you go. Scary. Anyway, so so there we were.
I'm so glad I brought up the junk collection.
Exactly.
Yeah. I am.
So
I am now.
I think I'd much rather talk about Matthew Sweet. Wow, what about that album?
Best album he's ever done.
Best album he's ever done.
Now, why the long face?
Now, people, back to the text.
Dot dot dot.
As we know,
I knew this would happen. I told you if we didn't script this part of it. Mm. Like we do the rest of the show, we just go off the rails.
I'm on the rails. I'm on message.
You are so on the rails.
I'm on message.
You are so on the freaking rails.
Yes, I am. The Democrats, as we know, took control of the House and Senate in
In the United States. I was going to say, because out here, it's not Democrats.
No.
Isn't it just Democrats? Because they haven't got a member.
Yeah.
Do they actually exist as a party anymore?
Oh, God, what are you doing? Are you going to have your own personal phone call in the middle of the freaking show?
No, this is the official Walk in the Black Forest SMS line.
Why don't you turn it off?
You can have my car, but you cannot take my collective's name.
What, now Matt wants to be part of the show?
And Matthew Sweet is... No, I'm not going to say that.
He's a tip.
Yeah. Fuck off. Oh, dear. Which we hardly
accept. What did he say about Matthew Sweet?
That he's a really cool guy. Yeah. And I hope Richard extends that warm welcome to all of a Walk on Black Forest.
You know, only a few minutes I was saying, wow, we haven't really done much on the show tonight.
But funnily enough, that's very true.
Anyway, back to the text. Now, of course, as you were saying, the Democrats have come back to some kind of semblance of power in the US, and I'd like to ask you, Peter Meister, as kind of an expert on things American, I consider that
I have two issues of USA today in my bag.
Can I ask you, what are the
implications?
I'm going to
erect a petition.
No. You erect a wall.
Between you and
because
me.
That's what you need. I erected a wall between...
Hey, look at that. That's a sequence.
Yeah, it is.
I'll tell you what.
Visual gag.
Yeah, visual gag.
You wear those shorts again, there'll be more than erections going on. Anyway.
Well, don't wear shorts.
More than walls, too.
Making stuff up and pulling it out of my...
Oh, this week, right?
How do you want?
So, I'd like to know, what are the actual implications? With the Democrats now controlling the Senate and the House of Representatives, to put it down to a finer point, what are the implications for the Bush fascist junta?
Well, there's a couple of implications, and I hope they actually pass across here to this...
That's surprisingly close to
the state. It is. The Junta Collective.
There we go.
We've got it. Nice. Now.
I should not have said that.
Now, you fucking started it.
You know what?
And I wasn't even here when you started it.
The only member of the Junta Collective. And that's the way it should be. You know, if you're going to have some kind of neo-fascist rule, there can only be one member of the collective, and that's us.
But we make everyone else. Listen to the Junta.
It's a good idea. Mm.
Mm. Now, as we said...
The Junta Collective can be a sub-collective of the Junta Collective.
That's very true. I like that idea.
It's a sub-branch.
It's a good one. I like that one. Can I now talk about the Democrats for a bit?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Now, as we know, the Democrats took control of both House and Senate, and this was a rather big shock to the American president.
It was a massive shock to the media.
It was a big shock to the media.
They seemed to honestly not expect
almost
it to happen.
As big a shock when I strapped those electrodes to his testicles.
I actually quite enjoyed that.
So did you get in there before Condi did?
Yeah.
Because I hear Condi's down there quite a bit.
Or Laura.
She's
never there, actually.
No, she doesn't need to be.
Cobwebs.
Back to the text. I'm going to shut up now.
Pardon?
I'm going to shut up now because I've noticed a pattern.
Yeah.
There you go, Pete. There's a pattern.
Yep.
That every time I say something, it goes off in another direction.
That's very true. You are.
So back to the text. Hey, turn me off.
You're the misdirector. That's what you are. You're the mystery. You're the mystery.
Oh, I'm off. That is so unfair. He has an awesome line and he gets turned off.
You told me to turn it
I'm going home. You're not meant to feed me lines when I've got no microphone.
That's fair enough. Now, the Democrat says, can I ask, you know, I've said it about six times already, that first one. Okay.
That's why I was the last time I was trying to...
So, basically what we got is a situation where Donald Rumsfeld, as Abe's beautiful little piece that he edited together earlier, pointed out, fell on his sword, or was more particularly pushed onto his sword.
You know, the funny thing is, he was pushed on a sword, interestingly enough, via his bot. And how can we say this? He descended in a southerly direction onto a sword. Well, some would call it a sword, others would call it a dagger. A blunt dagger, but nonetheless a dagger.
Was it a known known or an unknown known?
It was pretty much a known known.
Oh, fair enough. Mm. Now,
maybe it was that blunt end of a jack.
Well, I don't think Jack was involved, but if you gave him a call, I'm sure he'd come
Jack
over.
Jack Abramoff's in jail now, so I can't say it would have been that Jack.
I was confused, sorry.
Yeah, so it's okay. So what this basically did, this is the interesting fact for me. I mean, there's a pile of interesting stuff about the American election.
Oh, it's all interesting, Pete.
For me, it's fascinating. Yeah, USA fascinating. Today is my Bible when it comes to this.
That's right, scary.
I'm building a wall.
Unfortunately,
building a wall.
But you know what's really scary? I'm actually a week behind. The election hasn't happened yet. I'm still waiting for the fucking results.
That's fantastic.
Well, do you really want to talk about it? Because we might give away the ending.
That's true.
If you don't want to know the results of the US election,
as we know,
listen now.
We're on Wednesday, Bush, that's on Wednesday, Bush basically couldn't believe this has happened, stood up there, asked his good friend Don to step down, impaled into the job, perhaps. Robert Gates, ex-director of the CIA.
Interesting,
and
Robert.
That's who we want in charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly. It's interesting that this is exactly the same, well, similar career path that George Bush Sr. took.
Yeah.
George Bush Sr. went from the CIA to a deputy role. Basically, it's exactly the same thing. So I assume what they're wanting to do with Gates is bring back the intelligentsia, because with what happened in this particular leadership was there was a massive breakdown between the CIA and the leadership because there wasn't that progression.
Yep.
So Rumsfeld didn't come through that possession.
Right. Rumsfeld came through the political wing.
And he came through the Department of Defense without the CIA, came through the political wing, and basically it broke down.
Yep, totally.
That chain of command, the information age broke down. So now what they're doing is bring someone through. So pretty much the intelligence community has now stepped up, as they did during Carter, Reagan,
Bush Senior,
and has, again, come back up to the fore.
Now, this is the interesting question.
Why?
Sorry, no, you've got
No, it's just nuts, isn't it?
It is. It's totally nuts.
It's nuts that some political git can be up there for 6 years or whatever it's been, well, 5-6 years, and it takes something like this
for him to make
a change.
I know.
You know, it's like,
well, I mean, and
there's got to be something fucked with the system. Excuse me, but you know, there's got to be something fucked with the system, and it's pretty close to the way we select. I mean, it is the same way, right?
It is, yeah.
Whoever's the leader of the party gets to fucking choose
whatever they want. Correct.
Now, who would think that the lives of 750,000 Iraqis would not be the reason for leaving office? The reason for leaving office was because someone had to fall on their sword, and it just happened to be him.
Well, that's the thing, and funnily enough, there's already a civil action being filed in the Court for Human Rights against Rumsfeld
for
war crimes.
This is what's happened, because before the invasion of Iraq this time, the US went to the International Court in Belgium and forced everyone to change the rules so that the government can't actually be prosecuted.
Yes, but now Rumsfeld is no longer a member of the government.
Exactly, now Rumsfeld's not part of the government. Can they prosecute him? If they can, then when Bush leaves government,
The International Court for Human Rights has accepted the petition from civil rights activists around the world, including ones from the United States, and have said that they will actually look at it and investigate as to whether there's a prima facie case for war crimes being conducted by Rumsfeld, and arguably there is, because he took full responsibility in front of the American Congress for the Abu Ghraib torture.
And I wonder if that was intentional.
I don't know. I just think that...
Why would he do that intentionally?
So that basically...
Because he paid masses of money so that nobody else would?
Well, do you honestly think he's going to go to jail? He wouldn't go to jail. There's no way they'd put Rumsfeld in jail. So if he was to be found guilty... So what happens is, by saying, it's all me, it's all me, it's all me, so that when he leaves office, if there is civil action or criminal action, whatever, then they can't put any of it on Bush or Condoleezza Rice or any of those people.
Well, hang on. I mean, if the charges are serious enough... I mean, they put him in some form of detention, maybe not prison, but, you know.
I think arguably,
put him in some form of detention.
It'd be highly unlikely.
Considering a sizable amount of the funds of the International Court for Human Rights comes from the United States, as does almost every global organisation, my suspicion is they'll probably exert enough of their financial influence to ensure that it probably does never get to court. It'll probably be enough to throw it out of court to say that we think there might be a prima facie case, but it's just not strong enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And I suspect that's about the best they'll get.
Mm.
But, you know, that's
lucky he's not Serbian.
That well, or Saddam.
Yes, true.
Well, either two.
But
it's a hanging judge.
The question I have to ask here, and it's not about those things, because I could talk about that stuff all night, is how long does it take to get information, say, from the United States to Australia?
A week for you, because you haven't read that.
A week for USA Today. For
well,
me, yep.
I'd say an email would be almost instant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, instant.
Instantaneous, right? So on
Google News, mate. Google News.
It's just about 4 or 5 minutes, Google News.
On Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, I was watching. I was actually in a hotel, and I was watching.
Were you?
I was watching. Nice.
Were you on the run?
I was.
No, dude. Kylie was in town.
All right.
I was watching. Got to get away from Kylie. I can't be in the same city as her.
I know. I understand.
You were one of those people who went along to the U2 concert and found themselves stuck behind a tent.
No, but I was one of those people that actually went to a U2 concert, actually filmed it, and got arrested and thrown into what I call hotel.
Hey, good on you, Pete. I know. Nice. Good. Research for the detail was just research.
It was. That's where I met Bubba and Douglas.
So basically you were thrown into a Bangkok Hilton.
I was. There's many lines there.
Now, see, Hotel Hilton.
Listen, I get it. I get it. Now, interestingly, I was there watching Sky News, which on Fox shows CBS Nightly News, the new one hosted by ex-Today Show host Katie Couric.
You know, I'm a big fan of Katie Couric.
I used to be as well.
You know the reason why... Well, I was a fan of Katie Couric. I'm sure you'll inform me as why I shouldn't be. But the reason why I was a fan of Katie Couric was
because... She swallows.
She's short enough. She may as well. But she actually did. She did the intros to the shows and interviews with people unscripted.
Yep.
So she did it unscripted, basically.
Yep. Yeah,
so she didn't use an autocode. She didn't use anything. She actually knew what she was talking about.
She improvises.
Yes.
No, she just knows her stuff, and I can respect that.
Okay, but now she's doing the most lightweight news on American network television. But, okay, so I'm sitting there watching Katie Couric, and in between watching some story on whether someone should get a white picket fence or a blue picket fence in their house, there was Bush talking about the election was the greatest defeat ever. We need to rethink Iraq. We need to get a new perspective. That's why I'm shafting Rummy and bringing in Robert Gates. Mm. We need a new voice. And... we really, really, really need to listen to the committee on Iraq that's being put together by Dad's old Secretary of State, James Baker.
James Baker.
Correct. We really need to listen to this because this is going to tell us how we should be approaching Iraq because the American people have told us we've stuffed up.
Can I tell you something about James Baker?
Mm.
James Baker, interestingly enough, his law firm actually represents... the Saudis, or the relatives of the Saudis who were involved with smashing planes into the Twin Towers.
Nice.
He also had time to drum for the Huda Gurus in the early days.
Really?
He's an amazing man, isn't he?
Yes.
Also, not only that, but his company...
And the Dubrovniks.
I've forgotten James Baker's company's name, but they are actually the first company that were given an oil drilling license in Iraq.
It wasn't Halliburton, was it?
No, it's a different one. He's got his own. Yeah. Basically, that's what they did.
Did they need a license?
I think it's the point of a gun.
Yeah.
And so basically they were the first ones. So he's part of the Kellogg group anyway, so they were the first ones, and so he made a light load. So it's interesting he would be heading up a committee on Iraq.
So would that make him a serial driller?
That's quite funny.
Really funny. Interesting, he's heading up a committee to investigate something. He has a,
I think it's funnier than the Katie Couric gag.
It's probably funnier than the Katie Couric gag. So, there we go. James Baker, heading it. Bush says the problem. Got to listen to Baker. All this sort of stuff. Thursday morning, I watch the Today Show. Because I was actually somewhere that was half an hour later. I was watching the Today Show, and there's John Howard being interviewed.
What?
On the Today Show.
Really?
It's a sort of cut to, maybe it's a doorstop, whatever else. Howard says, you know, we're going to stay the course in Iraq. We're not going
to...
The strategy's right. We just need more time. We need to stay there until the job is done. Blah, 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 blah. Usual rhetoric. 12 hours after, probably a bit more than that, 12 hours after Bush has said, we need a new perspective. Howard's sticking to the old message.
He's on message, people.
It's not until Saturday morning that Howard is saying, actually, we need a... Do you know what we need in Iraq? We need a new perspective.
It's good that...
So the script takes 4 days to get from Washington to Canberra.
You see, it's not like John Howard is, say, a lemming. He's got his own course to follow. Unfortunately, it's someone else's.
Mm. Interesting, the next point, of course, was the Baker Inquiry. Bush is saying the Baker Inquiry and is possibly the way out. A lot of the pundits are saying this is the way we're going to get out of Iraq, blah, blah, blah.
With James Baker.
With James Baker. And, well, drummers can get you out of everything.
I was going to say.
He's a clever man. Mm. So this morning I'm listening to the news. Minister for Defence here in Australia, Dr. I wear an earring because it's meant to be cool, Nelson.
Now, if he was in the army, they'd demand he takes that down. I think as Defence Minister, they should do that.
If I was his commanding officer in the army, I would just rip it out with my fingers.
Bing. What about your teeth? That's hardcore.
Yeah, that is hardcore. That is hardcore. That's very true. I'd just shoot it out. Now, come on, marksman, you can hit that gold earring. So Nelson was on the news this morning.
Band. What? Golden earring.
Golden earring. They were too. That's very true. I'm trying to think of their big hit.
Rita Love.
Oh, that's it. Rita Love. Thank you. So there we are. Dr. Brendan Nelson saying that we don't ask if he was going to put Australia's views to the Baker Inquiry. Mm. His answer was no. Irrelevant.
Mm.
We're Australia. We don't give our opinions to little inquiries. We go directly to the government, and we're going to tell George Bush what we think.
Are we going to ask him first?
This afternoon, there's Brendan Nelson in the news saying, Australia will be cooperating fully with the Baker Inquiry. It's the most important thing that we can actually think. Our contributions are important.
What a bunch of wallies.
I know.
Did you see in the paper today that apparently the $100 million Australia spent on new aircraft is a complete waste of money?
Because they actually bought two-winged biplanes?
Oh, no, they just don't work.
Yeah, we could park them next to the submarines and the tanks.
That's awesome. Good idea, that.
I believe the War Memorial is looking for a new plane.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Could you say
I don't know what you could do. You know when they decommission trains and they sell them off as like houses and stuff?
Carriages, yeah.
Yeah, you could decommission those and just sell them off as rooms.
Well, what the Air Force
used to do, when
the Air Force got new planes, they used to bomb the old planes for target practice. Mm-hmm. What we can do is use the old planes to bomb the new ones.
That's nice.
Just hit them there. That's pretty good. So I like it.
I got an idea. Something like an F-111 bombing a... What are the new ones? Are they 18s? Or are they...
The Raptors, F-22s. God, I don't know. I think they're F-22s.
So my point about all of this is that we seem to accept...
There's no interest.
We seem to accept John Howard... as effectively, and I'm prone to use the word here, a flip-flopper. We accept John Howard as a flip-flopper.
We do.
Yet we say that there were surveys come out last week that his integrity is like at 70%.
How? Integrity for what?
His honesty is 65%.
Structural integrity? Sure, he's not going to burst at any point.
John Howard does not have concrete cancer.
such a shame.
Structural integrity. I was working with it. No, I find it quite frightening that
I wonder if he swallows.
I'd like to know.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, this is all the Black Forest. You're listening to Trelawney at 8.5 FM. Vampiros Lesbos, quite appropriately, going down on the Lions and the Cucumbers.
The Junta Collective.
That was the mighty soundtrack to Vampiros Lesbos, and the track was The Lion and the Cucumber. Written by Manfred Huber.
Is that a sexual thing, a lion and a cucumber?
No.
It's a Katy Couric thing.
It is a Katy Couric thing. This is the Welcome Back Forest. You're listening to 88.5 FM. You can pick a track on that because you like the album. And we were going to have a quick chat about Media University, because Media University at the moment is shitting me off. Now, it's something that, obviously, once again, our journalists are not reporting.
No, because I don't have to.
We were just discussing in the break the concept of, and this is the common argument. Why is Beasley not out there? Why is Beasley not being seen and saying the shit that Beasley should actually be saying?
Well, the reality is, when you think about it, you can actually see him from orbit. So I don't know why.
The thing is, Beasley is actually saying all this stuff. You go to Beasley's website, he is pumping out at least 20 to 30 press releases a day. He's doing doorstops. He's doing an enormous amount of interviews. The transcripts of those interviews are all on his website. Yet you see no more than 1 or 2 column inches, roughly the size of John Howard's penis, on what can be said.
Maybe part of the problem is he's pushing too much out.
It could be that. It could be overkill. John Howard pumps out about the same amount, though.
Where are his media advisors? What's going on? Why aren't we hearing it?
But this is the issue.
People don't want us to hear it.
It all cuts back to the chase. Is it the media advisors? There is a fact that we have a currently undiverse press as it is.
Mm.
So tell us about the undiverse. That's not a word.
Non-diverse?
The media that's not diverse.
Yep.
Why aren't they showing
anything to do with Kim.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there's a couple of simple issues here. Number one, we're dealing with major changes to the media laws, which everybody knows about. We've already seen an enormous amount of jostling and moving within one day of the media laws being signed. There were, funnily enough, this is something that Howard has actually had up his sleeve for, about 9 years.
He's been waiting.
This is the interesting thing. He's been promising media law changes for over 9 years and has never delivered them, yet has delivered on the sale of Telstra, the fucking up of people's workers' rights.
The interesting thing is, you know why? Because for 9 years, he's kept the Murdochs and all those people
hanging by their testicles,
hanging on a thread. Mm. They're his.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's kept them holding on for 9 years, sucking and crawling and swallowing.
And he had to eventually give them something.
Daddy.
Link.
So they had to give him something.
Can I just say at this point, just to completely bring your whole argument down?
Yep.
Abe is a radio professional.
Thank you. Now, so there we are. We're talking about all of this stuff. We're talking about the fact that he's had him by the ganglies or whatever else. Now, within 1 week of the acts being passed, they still haven't been proclaimed and no date for it's been started. Helen Coonan, the honorary Senator Helen Coonan, was walking around saying, well, actually, I think we're going to have to change them. Because biggest thing that they're talking about, obviously, is the biggest thing is Macquarie Regional Radio Works.
That's right.
The company?
Yep.
Are out there saying that they cannot afford to staff local newsrooms.
Now, they've had an issue for a while. They've been looking for staff for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I think in a way, I just wonder if they're doing that to pressure.
Oh, quite very possibly.
They're trying to get into the game because they're not. They're out of the game. They have been for a while.
The big story that Media Watch, of course, put out last Monday was the fact that during the Hobart bushfires, Macquarie Regional Radio Works Station did a local report from their newsroom in the Gold Coast.
Now, the interesting thing is, does this open Macquarie to being bought out cheaply?
Quite possibly.
So I would be speculating that possibly you'll find Macquarie bought out by someone like, say, Murdoch or Stokes.
Yep,
Terry Stokes could buy it out, which gives them a bigger kind of pool to draw from nationally.
Now, the rules, of course, the new rules do state that you have to have 5 owners in each major capital city. Don't forget that there's 3 commercial television networks, in most cities, 2 newspapers, in some cities, 1 newspaper, and there is regional television networks, and there are enormous amount of radio stations.
Mm.
So it's not too hard to get 5
about
owners pretty quickly.
About 4 or 5 major networks in a radio station.
So it's pretty easy to get it down to 5.
Easy.
Now, So Helen Coonan has been basically going out there from the day the act got passed saying, well, actually, we might be changing all this stuff now. We're not too sure if this is the right act. Once again, holding the media by the ganglies.
Yep.
You've got Murdoch sitting there waiting to pounce. You've got James Packer waiting to jump out and buy what he's always wanted to buy, which is basically Fairfax. It's Daddy's legacy.
Mm.
And you've got Stokes already manoeuvring, and I'm sure you've got the owner. They've all started selling anyway, but they're all sitting there waiting, and Howard is not. It's funny enough, you got this act. He could tell you the exact day the IR laws were going to come into place. They were actually chosen before the act even went to Parliament. There's Coonan going, oh, well, it might be January, it might be March. It may not even happen till October, November, around the time of the election. Ta-da!
You know something? I wonder whether, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's just a thought, whether the reason why the government is actually holding this over is because what they can do is they can actually kind of show international interest through the free trade agreement in Australian radio and TV networks, which can build up the price, which can spook your Murdochs, your Packers, your Stokes.
Yep.
So the price goes up. And they actually want to sucker up to the government even more.
Well, exactly.
Because let's be honest, an American network who buys a television or radio interest in Australia has no interest in sucking on the government.
Well, Clear Channel certainly has none.
Exactly. They bought it, they own it, so what?
Yeah.
So the government's interest is keeping it in Australia's hands so they can control the media.
Totally, totally. Howard is one of the most thoughtful and strategic politicians you would ever meet in your life. And these are the things he thinks about.
He's a limey.
Now, other argument that Helen Coonan has been pumping out there... The other argument that Helen Coonan's been pumping out there has been that what we do have in this country is probably one of the most robust and diverse community media sectors, that even if we only had one owner, would compensate for the lack of diversity in the commercial media.
So don't fund the community sector, but use it as a crutch.
As we know, McNair Ingenuity, and you can find all this information on the CBAA website, which is the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, cbaa.org.au. The McNair Ingenuity research conducted by the Department of Communications, Information Technology and the Arts, which used to be known as DECETA, which I think is a great name for it, is now actually...
Actually, DECETA.
And now it's DECETA For a while there, everyone used to call it DeSita, because it was a very nice way to do it, but they've been very...
Maybe in TAFE.
Amongst the cognoscenti of broadcasting, it was referred to as DeSita.
Yep.
But it is, you're right, you are correct, it is DeKita. It's quite interesting that one of the big issues that DeKita has been pumping out is that 45% of Australian people listen to community broadcasting.
Really? Is that
every
high?
Every week, 45%, every week.
Well, I thought there'd be about one.
It's DJ Grizzly. DJ Grizzly.
Yeah.
I like that name, by the way.
So you've got that situation.
So that Abe is not a radio professional. Yeah.
DJ Grizzly, it makes sense.
So we've got...
Why does it make sense? It doesn't make sense.
It's okay. It's
a bear. So you've got a situation.
I am a bear.
Have you seen his beard?
Grizzly Adams.
I'm a bear.
It is Grizzly Adams. That's Grizzly where Adams. It freaking comes from.
And now
from.
We're going to play a track by a bear.
Now, so you've got a situation where Abe is correct. They're using the community broadcasting, which they fund to a very limited extent, $3 to $6 million, depending on which book you read. They fund to a very limited extent. Now, this is the interesting and cogent fact.
Cogent, like
hold
that.
On, wait.
Like that.
Cogent.
Thank you.
He was a 1970s detective.
Cogent?
Yes.
Was he the one in the big jacket?
That's him.
That's him. Yeah. He wore a beanie as well, didn't he?
Did.
Cogent?
Yeah, he did.
It's good.
You never what believe
you,
it, but
whatever you do.
You know, that was one of Katie Couric's first series as well.
Was it? Mm. Nice. Now, this is the relevant and cogent fact. The Australian Communications and Media Authority, commonly known as ACMA, who's replaced the Australian Broadcasting Authority and the Australian Communications Authority into a wonderfully happy family, are issuing digital licences. Now, digital radio, as we know, is to start replacing analogue radio as of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Now, funnily enough, there are the naysayers out there who say that digital radio will be a massive failure.
Mm-hmm.
Same naysayers who said digital television will be a massive failure. There's been a massive uptake of digital set-top boxes. In Sydney, the figure is something in the vicinity around 35% of households have a digital set-top box.
I have two.
Funnily enough, do you have a digital set-top box?
Yeah.
Yep, so do I as well. What's interesting is the fact that community television at the moment is actually being denied access to digital broadcasting. So the only way to
denied access to frickin' analog broadcasting.
That's very true. So in Sydney, the only way you can get it, the limited community service we have, which of course is part owned, I think, by Macquarie and UWS or one college.
Now it's run by all the universities.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because they kicked the people who already had the license out.
Correct. And that
for
actually,
no reason whatsoever.
They're going broke, I believe. I did read that somewhere.
Good.
It's actually heavily funded by a Melbourne company as well, which provides a lot of the that's the main backer. Yeah.
They did the same thing in Melbourne, and
it's exactly
TV just
yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
So you've got a situation where they, even if they were good, they can't actually get
they're
access
up near
to
you.
Are they?
They were up near you in Crow's Nest.
Really?
Yeah.
Got some grenades.
To be close to the
old people.
I don't know if it was. It was near SBS for some reason.
Oh, really?
So. Community television denied access, and they are, for community television across Australia, and places like Melbourne and Perth, community television is, particularly Perth, is very strong. Access 31 in Perth is massively strong.
Well, you look at it, that's where Rover McManus got his start, and if you can get enough media exposure in a
Perth.
City, through community television.
It was in Perth.
And Hamish and Andy got their start on Channel 31 Melbourne.
That's right.
Hamish and Andy?
They're people who run, what's the TV show? It's the
Hamish
Real,
and Andy
Real Stories or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Real Stories. And they've got an Austereo program.
They've got an Austereo program as well.
Really?
Networked nationally.
Yeah, they're very popular. So
when do we get our gig?
We got to get on community television. So community television is on the brink.
Not in Sydney. We're going to move.
Community television is on the brink of extinction in Australia. That's eight or ten less operators, and the diversity drops. We move to digital radio. Now the same deal applies. There is currently a lot of digital radio politics going on about who gets onto the digital spectrum. Mm. There's a lot of argument about what format they're using in the digital spectrum. There's talk about multiplexing digital channels, which allows you to either time share the digital channel.
I thought weren't they just using Eureka 147? What was that? Wasn't that what they were going to be using for radio?
There's a lot of argument whether they're going to be using Eureka 147 or digital radio Mondial.
See, that's
or AAC Plus.
Because that's the one they're testing in Wollongong and Newcastle.
Correct.
It's Radio Mondiale.
Yeah, they're testing digital Radio Mondiale, yeah. So there's a pile of... And then, for those of you who don't know, they're actually digital radio formats, or digital radio... there's another word.
It's like AM, FM.
Yeah.
It's a similar...
No, it's not.
I'm trying to give a comparison.
It's like NTSC PAL.
It's the... Yeah, okay. It's an encoding format, in some ways.
I'm trying to give a comparison to radio.
Sorry, yeah.
So, there's a table... There's a digital radio table. There's a limited amount of bandwidth spectrum.
I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I just jumped at you.
I understand. There's a limited amount of bandwidth. There's a lot of complaints that fine music stations need much broader bandwidth in order to get a much higher quality. The initial quality they're offering was 128, which would just be horrendous for any music station. It's probably acceptable for a talk station, but not for a music station.
Monos, yeah, it is. That's basically the music format of any AM radio station is 128 mono.
Yeah. Now, when you then expand that out to
128 what?
Kilobits per second.
As compressed by what?
It's an equivalent rather than
Yeah, well, basically figure. That's it. That's what everything
is. So the value 128 is only applicable to whatever compression you're using. So, for example, if you're saying MP3 128, it's completely different to what you get with quality for AAC, for example, 128. And I find it very hard to believe that music on AM is 128.
I don't know.
Anything, even AAC.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 128 AAC and MP3 are really easy to detect.
They are.
You can hear the thing.
The particular drums, right at the bottom.
Or maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. But back to the subtext.
Sorry, Pete.
So you've got a situation where you've got a table, you've got a limited amount of bandwidth. Currently at that table...
I'm being an arrogant dick in the last 15 minutes. I just noticed that. I'm an arrogant dick.
Well, we've been meaning to discuss
if anyone would like to come and see my arrogant dick...
It'll be posted on
9816-1038.
Or it'll be posted on the Walkback Wireless website, www.walkbackwireless.org.
There's a show summary for you.
And there's a professional. There's a limited amount of spectrum. Currently at the table are the commercial radio stations. I'm not even going to answer that. Currently at the table are commercial radio stations and a limited amount of metro-wide community stations. At a conference that was held in Adelaide on the weekend... there was representatives from the Australian Communications Media Authority. A question was posed to them by a journalist.
Hold on. A real journalist? Or...
A real journalist.
Look, I just wanted to check, okay? Look, we don't pretend to be journalists, so I wanted to just...
So a question was posed to them by a journalist.
Yeah, we do. We pretend to be journalists.
The question was, is there enough bandwidth for all existing community radio stations, which are the things that the government are using to guarantee the diversity of the media sector when Packer, Murdoch and Stokes own everything? Is there enough spectrum? The answer, a very simple, no.
There can't be.
There's not enough spectrum to move the existing community broadcasters in the major metropolitan cities across to a digital radio spectrum.
And something
it is musical chairs, people.
And something to take into consideration as well is that if you look at 2GB, for instance, they're not going to have one digital radio station. They're having five.
Yeah.
Okay, so you may just...
Broadcasting, data streams...
Well, what they're doing is they've got like an ABC2 equivalent, so rebroadcasting certain things. Their podcasts, their sport, their news...
Their podcasts?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Their idea is...
That's on the internet.
Yeah, no, their idea is to move that the 2GB Digital, which is the podcasting version of 2GB, onto an actual radio...
My God.
...style thing. So you're looking at them having five stations, right?
Triple M will want five stations.
And, as well, apparently...
Can I have five stations?
Sure,
no problem.
Thanks, Pete.
Well, see, Triple M's going to get Triple M Sport. Triple M will have Triple M Sport. But also the thing as well is
Triple M live music, blah, blah, blah.
And they
blah,
want Triple M Talk. Yep. They want some FM talk stations, which is ideally...
How about Triple M Shit?
Yep.
Which is...
FM's Crap.
Yep. Which is actually, apparently, what... What's Nova?
2GB is boring?
Not Nova. What are the other DMG station? I forgot what it's called.
Vega.
Vega. No one ever listens to it, so I don't know. Vega want to go talk.
What a stupid... Can you imagine the dicks who sat down in a room and thought, now what are we going to call this?
Vega.
Vega. People will listen to Vega.
I know why. They're like Pulp Fiction. Vincent Vega. Vega.
I was thinking Suzanne Vega.
Oh, Suzanne. Exactly. Tom's Diner. Great song. Vega.
Vega. Vega's got like a vegan, vegetarian sort of feel to it.
Fight the power.
It's not really the image you'd want.
Mambo number five, Louis Vega.
And it's not surprising considering how many people they got listening.
That's exactly right. Less than 2SM.
Less than 2% of the population.
I'm surprised that I know it's an important issue,
yep.
But I think it's shocking that they would let people who came up with the word Vega? I'm sure they walked off with half a mil for just thinking up a frick.
to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I move into the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
Peaches, bite my peaches.
Millions O Peaches here on All About Frost, Super Bowl 8.5.33 minutes to the hour of 12 o'clock, and Millions O Peaches. Richard.
Part of the Junk Collective.
The Junk Collective now.
Well, okay. I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Okay, so the lay incompetence.
Yep.
Or the Les incompetence.
Yep.
Lay incompetence.
Yep.
A London band.
Yep.
And they had the front man is Fred.
Fred Durst? I wonder what happened to him.
DJ Fred.
Fred. Yeah, Fred, who is doing peaches.
Oh, Fred Les.
Fred Les.
Yes. So. Yeah, Fred Les. So you guys are good. You actually do listen to me. I'm surprised.
Sorry.
So he's going out with peaches, and remember, Daddy wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with
because Daddy doesn't understand it.
No, he doesn't. Because she was always good as gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she was always
parents just don't understand. Parents just don't understand.
Because she was passing
Johnny fucking Tourette's.
Thank you very much. Mm. And Bobby wasn't happy.
No.
So the Les competence.
Yep.
Incompetence.
Yeah.
Played their final gig on Wednesday last week.
Gee, that was a rapid rise and fall.
That was a very rapid rise and fall.
Mm.
Bobby was there.
Finally.
Bobby was there at the final gig. No comment on whether he liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all moving on to bigger and better things. Yes.
Mm.
No, he didn't.
They did do that.
And he's now moving on to a band called The More Assured.
Nice.
He's going to be managing them instead of singing.
Nice.
Probably like before.
So is Fred Led still with Peaches?
Well, it's a bit dodgy, isn't it? Because every week it changes.
Because then
apparently
he's
officially with her.
Okay.
She's officially with him.
Yep.
But she's officially on the side with doing the fucking Tourette's.
Nice. So it's good doing fucking Tourette's.
It is doing a fucking
Tourette's. Well, it makes life a lot easier.
It does.
Yeah.
Story two.
Really. Story two. Right, so the Jeremy Isaacs.
Yep.
Who's the.
Chris Isaacs' son.
No.
I know, I made it up, but it sounded good.
He's Channel 4's founding chief executive.
Okay, yep.
And he's upset with Channel 4 at the moment because they're just doing. They've got a sex obsession, they reckon.
Yep.
And he basically had a go at them for Peaches doing their show about Islam.
Oh.
He said that in the early days of Channel 4, they offered a quiet seriousness that today has mostly disappeared. Channel 4 set out
quite
to offer...
eclecticism, I'd say.
There you go. Set out to offer an alternative viewing experience with the arts, current affairs, and documentary prominent and diversity at the heart of its output. That doesn't really make any sense, but that is exactly what it says here.
What community broadcast?
It says, exactly. Today, commercial ambitions are taking Channel 4 down different paths.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he goes on and on and on and on and says that Peach is a bitch.
Fair enough.
Not really. I'm just shortening the story because we've got to get out of here.
Yep.
And I won't read the other two pages of that. And the other quick ones is that Peaches has put on a whole lot of weight.
Yep.
Because she reckons when she was thin, a whole lot of boys weren't paying attention to her. So she's put on a whole bunch of weight, hoping that they will.
I believe you will be upset.
They will.
And she says she's... Oh, there's another story about denying her wild reputation, but I did them in the wrong order because the best one would have been to do that bit at the end.
Okay.
She said, I used to watch what I ate and got quite skinny, but I didn't get as much attention from men and women as I do these days. I've got a little belly now, but I think it's cute.
Oh, good on you, Peaches.
So there you go.
A role model for normal women everywhere.
So the tip, lesson, and moral
of
tonight's show is go eat some peaches.
Yeah, fair enough.
Why not? My friend Les does.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so does...
Johnny fucking Tourette's.
There we go.
I should actually point out, by the way, that this sad news to Brittany breaking up with her husband, K-Fed, as they now are calling him, is now called FedEx.
Oh.
I just like get that in. It's a bad line, but it'll
That's
do.
Funny.
Or F-Kid.
Or F-Kid.
Not as funny as Abe's professionalism earlier in the show.
Or the fact that you can't sing, or my, but I don't swallow.
That's right.
Or according to the now newly named... DJ Grizzly.
DJ Grizzly.
The coordinator
See,
of
I
the
thought that was his real name.
The coordinator of the Funt Collective.
The Funt Collective? I like that one.
The Funt Collective.
What about the Funt Collective?
We're out of here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. www.whatbyfrost.org. And you know you want to be there. Because we don't.
Goodbye.